Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true. All the flowers of spring could never make them sing like the way that our love grows.
Hello and welcome to the 40th Music of Marriage show. Don't know if you've been listening that long, but we are
Bob and
Evie, as in Bob and Evie. And our website, themusicofmarriage.com, is a place you can go to get our book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, 5 Biblical Dynamics to Keep the Music Playing.
And you can also get podcasts of these radio broadcasts. We just got a handful of them up there, and we're going to continue putting them up.
So that means if you aren't a big computer geek type person, that means if you do, at least go on your computer and type in themusicofmarriage.com and get to our website, then you can, the podcasts, you know, you can click on it, and it's actually repeats of our radio show that Daryl has kindly created for us so that we can further share them. So thanks for everything you do, Daryl, to make it possible.
Congratulations on your 40th.
Yes, right.
I just thought it would be fun to number it because it gives you a feeling of accomplishment or something. I don't know what it is, but or at least you keep track of your notes anyway.
Yes.
So last time we talked about God's love language, and we thought we would pick apart the section in the Bible on love, which is God's just definition of love.
Which is his love language, right?
Right, which is 1 Corinthians 13. And we would just kind of do a focus on each word, like today would just be the word patience. Because clearly, if patience is one of the ingredients in the recipe for love in your marriage or relationships in general, then it would probably be good to kind of analyze what patience is. And one thing I noticed is that patience is something that we think about and impatiently move on from thinking about.
Yeah, right.
Because that is a character trait that is can be very challenging to wrestle with, that beast. It's really a spirit of impatience that makes us just unable to wait and unable. Well, we're going to get into what it is. But Bob, maybe you want to just introduce it with what God's definition is in that verse. And then.
Well, I was going to actually read the verse and the different phrases with it we're going to be talking about over the next weeks, and from 1 Corinthians 13. And so God's definition of love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So you can see right there why patience is the first characteristic of love, because you're going to need plenty of it to live up to that long list there.
Yeah, to last 50 years or 70. My parents are about to celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And I remember we were so in love when we were first married. I remember saying, I hope we at least have 75 years together. I don't want it to ever. But, you know, we all have our time that God has preordained for us the years of our lives, and sometimes those dreams and hopes are cut short by things that don't make us happy. Sometimes they're cut short by
illness,
or just our own things that we do that cause the problems that separate people and so forth. So, mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is inspire ourselves and other people with what it is that can make the music last in marriage relationships, and patience being the first in that list of God's love language. The dictionary definition is interesting. It says to be able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. So at that point, I feel like just folding up the paper and walking out and saying, it's really impossible for any of us to do that, to expect perfection in that area. What we can expect, though, is to continue to grapple with it and to meditate on it more. I think when you meditate on something like what is patience as the number one first listed ingredient in love, the more you marinate in it, it's like when you put your steak in the marinade, the longer you marinate it, the longer it becomes a part of the character, of your character and personality. So we have found in our marriage that marinating in, the more we put our eyes on God's Word and what it has to say, then like it tells us, we see clearly, okay, this is the direction to go. And usually, oftentimes it's 180 degrees opposite from what we're doing or what we feel like doing. But nevertheless, when we do follow God's recipe and His love language, you know, is imitated, then we have success. So
yeah, and we often don't think about the fact that that something like patience is you know, not only a requirement, but biblically speaking, but it's the lack of it is actually displeasing to God, because if patience is the first characteristic of love, then impatience is not pleasing to God, and you could actually call it at that point sin. But we don't really look at it from that perspective when we're impatient with our husband or wife, and we express it in however many ways we express it, and with a hasty attitude, an unlistening attitude, whatever it is. But it's serious enough that if you don't get back on the track with what it really takes to love your spouse, to love your children, then there's going to be a disruption in the relationships in some way, and a breakdown. And that needs to be, and if that's the case in your situation, it needs to be corrected, and it can be corrected. And the way to do it is to embrace God's love language.
Right. So the word patience, we kind of decided to get some kind of a grip on thinking about it by taking each letter of the word patient and then coming up with a verb that would that would start with that letter, and then make some little notations or get insights from that. And so this first segment is break down and conquer walls in your relationship with patience. So this is the bonus. There are benefits. This isn't just some kind of exercise for the sake of, feeling good about ourselves or something like that. There are actual benefits that happen when we, and changes that come into our life experience, even those most broken down relationships. So we can conquer and break down walls in relationships with patience. Patience is a tool with which we can mend broken hearts. We're going to play that BG song at some point, maybe mm-hmm. at the end of this, about how can you mend a broken heart. Why do we need patience? What is patience useful for? Each characteristic of love is codependent on all the other characteristics of love. And the Bible says a patient man has great understanding. Great understanding is, say, Solomon, the wisest man, as we know, as far as we know from the Bible, was Solomon. But there are many, anybody, you, me, can have much greater understanding if we have patience, according to the Bible. A patient man or woman has great understanding. So all of life and all of love is dependent on our patience.
It is.
And that, so it's
in a bigger way than we might expect. For instance, you know, Joseph in the Old Testament had great patience with his brothers who sought to kill him, throwing him in a ditch and leaving him for dead. And he ended up in a prison in Egypt. But the 14 years of suffering that he went through because of that enabled him, because he had already had such character, to become a manager of a crisis Egypt had, and that was famine.
Food shortage, right?
Yeah.
He was prepared.
And when his brothers, he sent for his brothers, and they came here, they didn't recognize him until they finally did. And then they were scared as all get out because they thought, well, he's big here in Egypt, so he's gonna do us in like we did him, right? But no, Joseph's responded completely different than they did. He had compassion and mercy on them, and he was patient with them, and so it enabled him to endure and have that long suffering, which is really the Greek word for patience in the New Testament is suffering long.
He was able to do what Webster's dictionary definition says about patience. He was able to accept and tolerate delays, problems, suffering, without becoming annoyed or anxious. And often we have long delays in some of our life dreams. You know, here we are. We've been married, 46 plus years, and we had dreams when we were engaged of using our musical gifts in some way to help people. We didn't know how that would be, and we had opportunity to play music in different ways through the years and write songs, which, by the way, on the website, The Music of Marriage, is our little player where you can click in here, and if you know how to download songs, too. So we even now are just now, after 46 plus years, starting to do the things that we dreamed about when we were 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we raised 4 children and we went through all the things that families have to go through to, you know, keep a job and keep food on the table, roof over your head and things like that. So
And you were so patient with your 4 children. No, you really were. I was actually impressed by my wife.
Oh, I hadn't heard this before. Keep going.
No, if she's taking a dinner out of the oven and drops the plate on the casserole bowl on the floor and it just shatters in pieces, and all she said was, "Oh, rats!" I said, "Man, that's." I think I might have said a few other things as well, but
that was when we were first married. Yeah,
but well, anyway, you were a real example to me, Evelyn.
Well, you know, I'm thankful, and you have too. Our, you know, parents had a lot to do with fostering a environment in our homes, and this is helpful in marriage to think of the atmosphere that you're creating. I remember reading a line in a book once about that the woman sets the tone of the home, the tone. Mm-hmm. And I thought of that as a mother and a wife, and how, you know, if my spirit is easily agitated, if I'm yelling at the kids and creating this chaotic, emotional chaotic and otherwise chaotic environment, you know, so... But I had that environment growing up of a loving but a
controlled,
well, controlled environment, but not in a suffocating way. So to focus on patience as the number one first ingredient in God's love language list, the difference that that makes in all of our life, it gives us great understanding. It also puts a sense of that things won't just go out of control and haywire in your home, in your relationships. And when we blow it, we can step back and recognize we've stepped on somebody. And we're going to talk in the next section, of course, in a little more detail. But this song by the Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, kind of thought of that in relationship to, really, I said to Bob, when you think about it, if you're impatient, you're always hurting somebody. Impatience really never has a good result. I can't think of one good thing that came out of impatience. It's possible that if the guy who was saving the Titanic was impatient with the guys who didn't know what they were doing and he pushed them overboard or to the side and went and did what he had to do and saved something, then you'd say that impatience was worthwhile. But for the most part, it does kind of cause a lot of pain and broken hearts. So.
Well, in that instance, it would have been more proactive than impatient. It would have been a positive because you're sacrificing something small for the greater good.
Right. So how can we mend a broken heart? Well, we can try thinking about patience as one aspect. I don't know if the Bee Gees mentioned that in this song, but it's a pretty song, and let's think about how to mend broken hearts by employing patience.
I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see tomorrow, but I was never told about the sorrows. How can you mend the broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round? How can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win? I can still feel the breeze that rustles through the trees, and misty memories of days gone by. We could never see tomorrow. No one said a word about the sorrow. How can you stop the rain from falling down? How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world? Please help me mend my broken heart.
We're back with the music of marriage, and we're talking about God's love language, specifically 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8 in the Bible, is a complete description of his love language. What not only shows what he is, because he is love, and so everything in that passage describes God's character. But because we're made in his image, we also have the capability of taking on those characteristics, and which is why he commands us to do so, because he requires our cooperation. And it's a tall order when you look at the list, as we said first, but it is nothing God tells us to do is unachievable, let's put it this way, because he helps us to achieve it. And if we're not achieving it, then we have to look at whether we're really depending on him or not. So that's the key. What did Jesus say? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. And but without me, you can do nothing. So there you go. Evelyn came up with this acronym for the word patience.
Who is Evelyn?
Oh, that's my wife, Evie, better known
We're
as
Bob and Evie.
Evie.
A lot of people say Evie, which makes my hair stand on end. I correct them quickly. Evelyn, Evie.
And her hair looks pretty down. So
what? Okay, we haven't even gotten into the patience part yet. I'm getting impatient. Come on.
I could see that. Anyway, this acronym. Evie.
What's an acronym? Just to further delay what we're supposed to be talking about here. Some people don't know what an acronym is. It's kind of a weird word.
It's creating words or phrases out of the first letter out of each letter in the word we're describing. So if the word is patience, the first letter is P, obviously. So what Evie came up with was pause. The word pause, P, and that means pause your emotional reactions or your forward motion in terms of what you wanted to do as opposed to what someone else wanted to do. And, you know, a person who can be quiet and listen and lets others go first or speak first, lets others finish their sentence without interrupting, sets the table for goodwill. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And, you know, we don't often think that we're proud in spirit necessarily. Some are, but being proud in spirit could be as simple as wanting your own way as opposed to letting the other person get their way or finish their sentence or whatever it may be. The second word is attend, and that is attend from the letter A in patience equals attend. That means the need of the other person. So a person who dismisses the importance of others' needs creates more needs rather than fulfilling needs. And so it's counterproductive, really. And a good example is what Jesus said in the parable of Matthew 18. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And why'd you pick that verse, Evelyn?
I was going to just see if you could figure it out, but you need my help. Now, I did this when you were busy doing something else. But the thing is, the word patient that we're doing here with this letter A, attend to the need of the other person. This servant was imploring this guy to have patience with him.
His master.
Because he owed him money, and the master, who had just been forgiven a whole bunch, just with Jesus' whole teaching, turns around, runs out after being forgiven his huge debt, and grabs this guy by the collar who owes him a small debt, maybe he's trying to keep a roof over his family's head, and he's there, please have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything. He had a need. He had a need. Mm-hmm. And this guy, who had just been forgiven tons of debt, goes out and grabs him and says, you better pay me fast. I have no patience to wait anymore. So that's why attend, the letter A in patience, attend to the need of the other person. If you dismiss the importance of the other's needs, then you're creating more need rather than fulfilling needs. So this broken heart, mending broken hearts, requires a patient spirit that will give you understanding to say, you know, hey, there's a bigger picture here than I want my money now, pay me now, I have no patience. Or I want this now, do this now, I have no patience. But it can zoom out, see the bigger picture and the context of the importance of the person's need, you know. So if this man who'd just been forgiven much insisted on the other guy who owed him a little bit, pay him me right now or I'm kicking you out of your house, then that would just create more needs and more broken hearts. Mm-hmm. So that's why patience is so important. And I thought in this context where someone is actually begging someone else to have patience with them, and how often in our lives, in our married life, do we feel like maybe our spouse isn't being patient? And it is irritating, it is annoying, but like that definition we read of patience, it can tolerate a great deal of that without, you know, exploding and so forth. So this was just one angle on the word patient. And the next one is the letter T.
Which stands for tame. In other words, tame your tongue and your spirit. A person who allows their tongue free rein will trample their relationships, essentially. Proverbs 25:15 says, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. So patience has extreme usefulness, not just in your marriage, but in all kinds of situations you might face yourself in life, and with all of your relationships without exception there.
The letter I in the word patient was intend, purpose in your heart. Be intentional. A person without patience lacks a definite express purpose and intentionality and will miss the goal due to a lack of focus. I was talking last week about when I played field hockey in high school or basketball. It takes a great intensity and focus to get that ball where you want it to go around all the obstacles and people whacking at you and trying to, you know, foul you and whatever they're doing. And same in life. We have to have intention, so that I in patience is intend to meet a goal and focus on that goal. And then there's a verse in 2 Timothy that says, you, however, Paul is saying, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. So, you know, we're following a strategy to achieve a goal. Mm-hmm. With the patience, you know, and patience is required in sports, like many, many other things. Like Daryl knows here, working with these knobs and dials that don't always cooperate. Sometimes the radio frequency waves, or the storms, or the landscapers buzzing outside. There's all kinds of different things that interfere that require patience. Take it away with letter E, Bob, of the word patient.
And that stands for endure. Which means suffering long or long suffering. And that really requires the obedience of faith. It takes faith to endure, because you need to have a vision for what you're enduring for and what the result will be in the end. A person without endurance, on the other hand, fails to maintain the core strength that they vowed to exhibit in their marriage. In other words, when you took your vows, if you're like most vows, if you are like the vows that most people use, that is, you will talk about enduring to the end, to life duty, you know.
Life to you part.
Or
that's
death
a good
to
one.
Part?
I like that. That gets you off the hook. Yeah, life has done us part now, I think.
That reminds me of an old Groucho Marx joke. Well, you know, he never failed a joke, even on his deathbed. He was, you know, he was dying in the hospital, and he said, dying is a terrible way to live. Anyway,
that reminds me of Bob Hope. We're really off topic now, but I heard about his death was announced by some radio announcer when, I forget what, in 2008 or 07 or whenever it was. He was a comedian, and his family was gathered around the bed. As they announced it, when they announced his death on the radio, that's what they said. His family was gathered around his bed and asked Bob, where should we bury you? And he said, surprise me. I'm thinking he must have pre-planned and said, this is what I want you to tell the public.
Okay. I might as well throw in my Yogi Berra.
Oh, okay.
You should go to other people's funerals so they'll come to yours. You know.
So. That's a good one.
That's a good one. So it's going to take you all a lot of patience to get through us, to stick with us through this acronym on the word patient. But anyway, in long-suffering, and so like Bob was saying, the person without endurance fails to maintain the core strength which they vowed to exhibit in their marriage. And don't we all have grand ideas before we've gotten into the thick of life together about how long we're going to hold out and carry on? And so many people asked us, which is why we wrote this book and are doing this, actually. They asked us, how do you do it? How do you do it? And we would try to help people here by going through these exercises ourselves and creating this music of marriage thing. So,
and on this endurance topic, there's a verse in Romans 8:25 that says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." So, if your marriage is literally on the rocks, for instance, and you can't see any way out or an end to the rocks, a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, you need patience, because if you have patience and long-suffering endurance, you can see that marriage through to its re-consummation, whatever.
Revitalization.
Revitalization is exactly.
All right. Yeah. So that was E for endure in the word patient. We have two more letters. N, notice. This is an action word, too. Notice. Focus your eyes on what makes the other person happy. A person without patience develops a personality or has a persona and a character which kind of turns the atmosphere tense for everyone around. I think we all know how we can sense that. It's amazing how, as human beings, that spiritual aspect of us that is reflective of God's image, we're not like the animals in that sense. We care if someone kind of nudges in front of us at that light on the road. We kind of care if someone gets ahead of us in line and they shouldn't, or whatever, these types of things that create impatience. But Colossians 1:1 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Patience with joy is what helps us to, when we do notice what other people are made happy by and say, go ahead. I found in the South when we moved here a lot of that in daily life, and I still do. Just kind of extra kindnesses and people being really patient. And coming from the Northeast, I thought, man, you know, I'm a really mean person. These people are so nice and patient down here in the South. I like this. But they notice what makes you happy. They notice, they sense, oh, you're trying to get out of that parking. I'll wait. whatever it is, and you feel that, and it makes you happy.
It does.
So it's good to notice. That's the N in patient. Focus your eyes on what makes the other person happy.
And the last letter is T, which stands for tolerate. And what you need to tolerate, among other things, are delays, problems, or even suffering. And essentially, patience is a tool to mend broken hearts, for instance, even though that may seem intolerable. It is a situation that can be tolerated. Impatience never helps. It always creates hurt and separation. So patience to avoid broken hearts, that's what you need to use. And a verse connected with that in Ephesians 4:2 is, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, how about that? Patience being the first characteristic of love, but it seems to always require humility and gentleness in order to be patient. You have to have those character traits, develop those character traits if you don't have them already. Humility and gentleness are required for patience, and patience is required for bearing with one another in love. Now we have a song.
Called No Matter How Long It Takes.
Yeah, by Phillips Craig and Dean.
Of the rain, somehow my love will find.
We're back with The Music of Marriage by Bob and Evie, and we're talking about patience, the first characteristic of love, and the first quality of God's love language to us, which you can read in 1 Corinthians 13. And, you know, it's not all up to us, this patience thing. It really takes actively using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to develop patience, if you're a Christian, that is. If you're not, you need to get the Holy Spirit, like, right away. That's a good thing to be impatient for. But if you are, then develop it, because utilize it, rather. Patience is one of the gifts of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so patience is one of them, but the fruits of the Spirit, like the characteristics of love that we read, are all codependent. So the interesting thing is that as much as we need to develop patience in and of itself, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to develop it without developing these other characteristics or fruits of the Spirit, because that's the character of God coming through, which he enables us to not only imitate, but gives us the power to express or develop. And, for instance, you can see how self-control is essential for patience. If you don't have any self-control, you won't be patient, correct? You'll just...
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
I always have self-control.
That's right. Anyway, the other thing we need to think about, though, is it's nice to say what is the right thing to do, but what if you have a hard time doing the right thing to do, and, you know, what we need to do at that point is to break down the roadblocks to what the right thing is. And in this case, the roadblocks to patience, well, there's basically three. One is an unwillingness to change lifelong habits, and that's huge, which does require breaking lifelong habits that are destructive or unhelpful and developing new ones in its place. The second one is unwillingness to tap into God's help for the situation. Like I said, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are God's fruits, and we need to tap into the vine in order for this branch of mine to produce any fruit whatsoever. The third is an unwillingness to see God's purposes in everything. So we talked about having a long view, but also understanding that, as Romans 8:23 says, that God works all things for good for those who love the Lord. And so that's what we need to believe, that every situation we encounter is for our good, and God has a purpose in it, and that purpose takes patience and long-suffering to discover, and you will discover it if you use the gift of patience.
So when you look at what are your long-range goals for your marriage or your relationships in life, breaking down roadblocks to patience, think of what is blocking you from having patience, from wanting to be willing to wait, for having faith and hope and all those other qualities which require patience. It's critical. Been critical for us in our marriage. I know a big change in me happens when I just shift from expecting my husband, Bob, to change this. And I just go to God and say, in fact, often he changes on the dime when I go to God and say, would you just change his mind about that? And within 30 seconds, he changed his mind. Because then I kept my mouth shut and I didn't get impatient. So there's a lot of benefits. It really does work, and it breaks down, patience breaks down roadblocks that separate, divide, or break hearts. I wrote a song called I Don't Know the Way From Here when we kind of our business bottomed out and so forth back in 2010, and we had to sell our house, as many people will remember those times. And we did not know the way, but we had to have a lot of patience in the coming years to figure out how the pieces of our life would come together, and we would hold on to the driftwood, to the pieces of the ship at sea. So I think this song kind of expresses where a lot of us are when we are in that place of not, you know, wondering about the future, but we have confidence that if we look to God, like Bob was saying, we will come to the shore. We will get through it.
And this is a demo version, so if anyone wants to volunteer to add bass and drums to it, give us a ring.
Daryl, what do you play? The radio.
A little living room guitar, but no, I'm not ready for prime time and a you know, a Bob and Evie track.
I know what instrument you play. The radio.
The radio, yeah, play that one.
Well, Bob, we're only almost famous, Daryl. So you have no worries there.
Oh, me. Well, guys, congratulations on your 40th Music of Marriage.
Yes, themusicofmarriage.com is where our book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, is, and downloads of music, and you can email us, and hopefully we'll have call-ins when we get brave enough to.
Yeah, and podcasts of these radio shows.
You can share them. Yeah, you can re-listen to the shows as we get them up. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Know the way from here, and the consequence could be severe. Oh, but I look to you, and I trust you make the way clear. I don't know the way from here. When my eyes are off you, I fear. Oh, but I look to you, and I trust you. Exactly where my life will go. There's no way I could tell. It all will work out well. There is no way I could see the path you have in front of me. But I look to you and trust in all. All alone, are you near? Oh, but I look to you and trust you make the way clear. I don't know the way from here. Does my prayer even reach your ear? But I look to you, I trust you make the way clear. Exactly where my life will go. There's no way I could tell that it all will work out well. There is no way I could see the path you have in front of me. But I look to you and trust in all. Now you'd think with the clouds there would be some rain, and after the rain there would be some gain. But my circumstance weighs like a ball and chain, and all I can do is call out your name. I don't know the way from here. My vision is blurred by a tear. Oh, but I look to you, and I trust you make the way clear. Oh, I don't know the way from here, and
and the days they drag on like years, and I look to you, and I trust you make the way clear. There is no way I could know exactly where my life will go. Trust you make the way clear. Oh, yes, I trust in you, my sweet Jesus. I trust in you.